And we're back here on the Metal Command radio show here. Time now is 11:09, and it really interesting because it was pretty interesting because we ended up having a lot of stuff going on for this past week, and that was Jagdpanzer, of course, with Burn, and that is off of their new album entitled The Scourge of Light, which is out right now on SPV Records, and you can check them out, jagdpanzer.com. Check out their website, and we do have on the phone lines right now, we do have Jagdpanzer founding member and also guitar player Mark Brody of Jagdpanzer. Mark, it's great to have you on the show.
And yeah, it's great to be on here. Thank you for having me.
And Mark, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but Mark and I actually did an interview, and then I had a incident where now that interview ended up being lost, so we decided to do it live. So, so it's
live interviews are always fun. I mean, they're always cool to do, and you know, spontaneous. And I think they're always a little more interesting too.
Sounds good. Well, you have a new album out. Let's talk about that really quick. The Scourge of Light, and you know, tell everybody about the new album and went into recording it. And also, you know, basically, you know, the theme and behind the title of the album, and talking about the cover and all the other fun stuff that goes into making a record.
Well, we spent about a year and a half working on it. It's been 7 years since our last album, but most of that was tied up with some contractual issues with our old label. So this one was just about a year and a half into it. We're welcoming back our guitarist Christian Lesage that was on our Chain of Command record, and he really contributed a lot to the songwriting, and of course he's a great lead player, so I think you can tell on the record that he's got some good chops. I'm trying to think off the top of my head what else to tell you about the record. We're pretty proud of it. We actually wrote a lot more songs for this one than we usually do, so we ended up scrapping some songs and put together the 10 we felt best with.
Well, and here's the thing. I just want to tell everybody out there right now, we had talked previously, and for whatever reason, some people really didn't like the previous albums, the Casting of Stones, and I gotta be honest with you, that was when that came out, it was my favorite Jagdpanzer album, and I just couldn't believe that people actually didn't like that record. It just completely baffled me.
Yeah, I like the record a lot. I'm very proud of it. I'm a little baffled that I see it bashed all over the place now, which I don't recall that happening when it was released. I think it's got some solid tracks on it, and I think it's a good record. I prefer the new one, but I still stand behind Casting the Stones all the way.
Now, you recorded this album actually yourselves and had it mixed, and talk about that a little bit, because you hadn't really, at least to my knowledge, aside from maybe some of the songs from your compilation, the Nail Spiked Bat, but you hadn't really talked much as far as... you haven't really recorded an album on your own, at least it didn't seem that way. And why did you decide to go through that process again?
Well, we knew that our budget was going to be smaller on this record, and that's pretty much par for the course with the whole music industry now, with people downloading and stuff, and less people buying music, it really, really affects the artists and recording budget. So we knew we were going to have a lower budget, so we were trying to figure out how we can deliver an album within budget, but still, we wanted really good sound quality, we wanted good production, we wanted, it just to be a really, really cool album. So, we'd done so many records with Jim Morris, and I was, worked next to Jim all the time, and everything he did, Jim's like a master of engineering and producing, so, I just would end up taking notes and really trying to pay attention to what Jim did, so... I finally thought for this album that I was ready to handle recording vocals myself and recording all the guitars. So, for vocals, it was just Harry and I for, I think, 6 weeks. We did a lot of experimenting, tried a lot of different things, and we had a lot of fun in the studio. So I think it paid off, and I think it came out pretty good. We didn't skimp on the gear here in my studio. We really... I spent a couple years really collecting really, really good set of equipment so we could really have some good sound quality. And, then, of course, we went and mixed down at Moore Sound down in Florida. So, I think we made some good choices, and I think we delivered a good-sounding record for a pretty small budget.
Now, you changed labels. You were on Century Media for quite some time, actually, for quite a few years. And you ended up making a change to SPV. And let's talk a little bit about that. Why the change? And, you know, how is SPV treating you since you've been in with the label?
Well, yeah, we were on Century Media from, 1996. And, they're a cool label. We had a good time with them. They had some nice people there that we're still friends with. But, the label was just going a completely different direction. I think they're going in like a Roadrunner type direction, which is fine. They're trying to run a business. And we're a notoriously, a low-selling band, and we don't sell a whole lot of records. So subsequently, our budget and our value to that label was going way down. And we had one more record on the contract. They wanted a live album, with just a ridiculously small budget, and we just couldn't do it. We kept trying, and that sort of tied us up for a few years, trying to deliver this live album. Eventually, we asked to be released from the label, and they were nice enough to do it. And then we started shopping for a new label, and we ended up going with SPV. SPV has been great so far. We wanted a label that was really hands-off, one that wasn't in our hair. I didn't want a label bothering me. I didn't want a label asking, for rough versions of the song or anything like that. They were cool about all that. They've been great so far.
And we're here with Mark Brady of Jagdpanzer. Mark, you did talk about that you didn't sell a lot of records for them, but from what I understand, you guys charted in a Billboard, did you not?
Yeah, with Scourge of the Light. With Century Media, we didn't sell a lot. I don't think Scourge of the Light is breaking any sales records anywhere, but I think it will end up being our biggest selling record.
Well, I just found it was crazy because I went online and read that, and I was like, wow, I'm like, you actually charted in the charts, which, I mean, for a band like you guys, I think that's outstanding. I really honestly do.
Yeah, well, it's the new music chart, so it is a Billboard chart, but it's not the Hot 100. Still it's cool. It's an accomplishment that I always wanted to do, so I'm happy with it. The numbers behind it, aren't overly impressive, but, for an underground metal band here in the States, I guess it's all right.
Well, we're going to play. I got some fan questions for you here. So what we're going to do is we're going to play another song off of a new album. We're going to play this off of The Scourge of Light. And this song is called Condemned to Fight. And I think this track is outstanding. So here we're going to play this, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Interview Hour, of course, here on The Metal Command. We're featuring Jagdpanzer, and this is off of Jagdpanzer's new album, The Scourge of Light. Check it out. And that's Condemned to Fight by Jagdpanzer off of their new album, The Scourge of Light. And we do still have Mark here on the line. And Mark, here, one of the things I decided to do for this interview is I decided to take fan questions throughout the week. And all the questions I'm going to ask here are actually things that people want to ask you. I mean, these are actual metalheads that email the show on a weekly basis and talk to me on Facebook and stuff like that that have questions for you. So,
oh, great.
So we're going to ask you one. The first one I'm going to read off is, this one, he left me no name, so I can't read who his name is. But this guy wants to know, you guys had a decade of the Nail Spike Bat, and you did have some recordings of some of your older songs from, like Ample Destruction and stuff like that. And he wants to know, do you ever plan on reissuing that album in the EP in a remastered format on a CD?
Actually, yes, it does look good that those will be coming out this year. We've long had, for years we've had offers for those, and with Scourge of Light doing well, the offers have increased for Ample. We've been having some good conversations with Joey DeFoy over the past year, and I'm not sure how interested he was previously in coming out with Ample, but he's interested in it now. Everybody else that played on the old stuff is interested in having a re-release. So, all we have to do is wrap up the paperwork, and I think you'll see a re-release of all that stuff at the end of, probably near the end of this year. And I'm going to put a ton of time and effort to make sure those re-releases are totally cool. I mean, it's going to be, we're going to pull the original reel-to-reel masters, to make the masters. We're going to hunt through tapes, make sure we get all the older material. It's going to be great liner notes, photos, and everything. I mean, this will be the ultimate versions of Ample and the EP.
Awesome. And for those of you that just tuning in, we are here with Mark Brody of Jagdpanzer, guitar player of the band Jagdpanzer. And next question for you, this is actually an interesting one. This is from Jeff at Strongsville, which is a suburb over here in Ohio. He wants to know would you ever do a tour and play the entire Ample Destruction in its entirety in a live concert?
I don't know. I think maybe as a one-off. I'm not sure we would do it consistently every night. The reason is that we got a couple guys in the band now. Especially our drummer Rickard's been in the band since 1987, and he wasn't on Ample. So, and I would hate to ask him to continually play a whole set every single night on tour of material that he had nothing to do with.
Uh-huh.
And then we have Krishna on lead guitar, who also wasn't on it. But having said that, it would be cool to do one show somewhere and, bring out Joey DeFoya and just, try to get as much of the original lineup together, just to knock out Ample from beginning to end. And that would be pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
As far as doing it every night on tour, I don't think so. But, doing a one-off, that'd be fun.
Now, here's a good one. This guy, he's a listener of mine who actually lives in Chicago, and he saw you play with Helloween in 2003. And he said that, do you ever plan on doing another tour again? He actually was a Helloween fan that got into Jagdpanzer by basically seeing you play with them. I think it was some theater downtown in Chicago. But he wants to know, do you plan on doing any type of touring for this album here in the States?
We're going to be touring for Scourge of Light. I'm not sure about the stateside touring. We're trying to make it work out. There's some issues with a promoter here. That we're trying to sort out. We had some difficulties, on the last tour here, and we're trying to work it out. Playing the States is important to us. I wish I could say more.
Yeah, most people, you can't talk about all the nice negotiating that goes on with that. So, well, the next question I'm looking at here is this guy wants to know, who did the album cover for the new album?
Well, the album cover is done by an artist named Justin Young. He's Los Angeles-based, and he actually did a lot of the intro graphics for Monday Night Football, which is sort of interesting. I love football, so it was cool to me. It's funny how we found him. I sent out word that I was looking for an artist for Scourge of Light, and I got about three or four different artists in Europe submit artwork. And they were all really, really, really good artists, and it was good artwork. So I thought, this is great. I'm going to have great artwork for Scourge of Light, so I don't have to worry about it. So one day I was just searching on the internet, just cruising around, and I saw this painting that just blew me away. It looked like Roger Dean, the guy that used to do the Yes covers. It was similar to his, but it was much darker and more sinister looking. And it really had an impact on me. I thought it was just great art. So I looked up the artist, and it was Justin Young. And, I wrote him to see if he'd be interested in an album cover. I had no idea whether he'd be interested or whether we could afford him. So we had some good conversations back and forth. He hadn't done an album cover, but, he's a professional artist, and he does a lot of other things. So we worked out a price. He was a little expensive, but I think it was worth it. I really, really liked the cover.
Are you a Broncos fan?
No, I'm actually a Vikings fan.
Really? You're living in Denver, a Vikings fan. Well, that's good, because I was going to tell you that I'm a huge Charger fan. So you probably would have hated me if I told you that and you were a diehard Denver Broncos fan. So I was just, hoping there wouldn't be any hate there.
It's funny. I'm a huge football fan, and our producer, Jim Morris, is a huge football fan also. And I remember we'd be down at Morristown sometimes, and we'd be mixing records during football season. And Jim and I would look at each other on Sunday, and Jim would say, I need to do some maintenance on the board. Why don't you guys go back to the hotel for a few hours? And then him and I would watch football.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff. And you've been working with Jim Morris for quite some time now. And I know some a lot of other bands do. I know that Iced Earth records with him quite a bit. And what keeps you... What is it about him that really, and this is a question actually that I'm reading for you. What is it about Jim Morris that keeps you guys working with him?
you know, Jim just gets it. I mean, he knows what we're trying to do in our music. He knows what metal should sound like. He's a sharp guy. He's funny. I mean, you just have a lot of fun working with Jim. He understands a budget. You know, you can tell Jim, we have to get this done in 4 days, and it will happen. He's got an insane work ethic. I mean, Jim will work, you know, 28 hours straight. I've seen him work before if something has to be done. And we just get along with him really good. All of us have a lot in common with Jim. He's just a cool guy. I like Jim personally, and I like him professionally. Mm-hmm. I took my family down to Orlando last month for vacation. You know, we went over, and my whole family went out with Jim's family for dinner. You know, we're just all close to Jim.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So, next fan question that I have for you. This is actually one from Europe. Do you plan on playing any of the European festivals this summer?
You know, we really want to, but I think our album came out a little late to make any of the bills over there. You know, most of those festivals, the lineup is set in stone usually by December or January.
Mm-hmm.
Even though now you still see press releases every week saying this band is confirmed for this festival. Really, usually everything's wrapped up by around December.
Mm-hmm.
And our album wasn't released till February. And I know with this being our first album without Chris Broderick, a lot of people were leery. They didn't know if we were going to be able to deliver the goods without Chris Broderick.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to get on some festivals, but everybody said they wanted to see how the new album came out. Now the new album came out really well, but, you know, we're a little late to get on the bill.
Mm-hmm. This next question's pretty funny. It says, what does Mark listen to on a daily basis? If you were to open up Mark's iPod or whatever listening device that he has, what would he be listening to?
You'd be shocked. I got everything on my iPod. I mean, I love Sarah McLachlan, Kate Bush, Tori Amos. So anything with a female singer,
uh-huh,
I'm into. Even, you know, more obscure stuff like Melissa McClelland, Tara McLean. So I'm heavily into that. So you'll find a lot of that on my MP3 player. Basic metal stuff. You know, I have tons of New Wave British Heavy Metal and your basic Maiden and Priest and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of country music on my iPod. I dig country music. I grew up with it, and I like it. I have a lot of classical music on there. I have blues from every era. I have some big band on there and some swing. I mean, I really enjoy about every kind of music. You know, a lot of people say, I listen to every kind of music, and they just mean they just like it as background music. But I'm really, really into, I listen to music for 8 hours a day, and it's all different kinds.
And we are still here with Mark Brody of Jag Panzer. Mark, you're just talking about listening to all types of music, and most of the musicians that I speak to, and this is kind of just something I just thought of, most of the musicians I speak to, they, the ones that really, I guess keep things fresh, they don't necessarily take ideas from other genres, but I always noticed that most of these people listen to not just metal bands, but they listen to quite a few other different types of things. And do you think the fact that you listen to so many different types of music, do you think that helps you kind of keep your material from sounding the same on every album?
Oh, definitely. I think it's a huge help. Even if I'm listening to music that's totally different from metal, sometimes an arrangement idea or sometimes the way something is mixed will spark an idea, maybe a week later in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important to be open to all different kinds of music and all different kinds of, all different kinds of production and all different kinds of arrangements, and everything that comes with listening to different music.
Here's a fan question I have for you here. It actually just kind of just was sent to me. It says, this is basically what it asks. What was the first album to get you into music, and what was the first metal album that basically got you into metal?
Well, I remember the first record as a kid that really got me into, the whole, rock genre was Elton John's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, because I went from listening to little kid music, soundtrack to Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I went from listening to that to hearing Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, and I was like, oh man, I was floored. It was cool. But then shortly after that, my older sister's boyfriend brought over Deep Purple's Machine Head and put that on. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is the coolest thing ever. So, you know, I had my paper route job. You know, I was like 12 or something. I had a paper route and saved all my money, went and bought all the Deep Purple albums I can get my hands on. And, you know, that was my first exposure to metal and, you know, to heavy music in general. And after that, you know, then I went from Deep Purple to Rainbow to UFO to Scorpions and, you know, and on from there.
Fan question, and this is from Mike in Cleveland. He basically wants to know, of all the bands that you have toured with or played with at shows, who are some of the coolest people that you were able to talk to, and who are some of the most fun to play a show with?
You know, one of the coolest is, you know, and this guy gets a lot of bad press sometimes, but I really hit it off really well with John Schaefer. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. You know, I read a lot of negative things about him, but he's always been very cool to me.
Uh-huh.
And him and I have always got along really well. We've had some great, interesting conversations. So, you know, I think he's one of the coolest people. Ripper Owens also. You know, Ripper's great. He's just a funny guy. You know, he's entertaining and funny, and he's a cool guy. As far as bands, Helloween was great to play with. Those guys were just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
They were always in a good mood. They never took anything too seriously. They were pretty cool.
Yeah, they're good for that.
Yeah, most of the bands we play with are pretty cool. Gamma Ray was great. You know, Kai Hansen was awesome. You know, he had no attitude or ego at all, and he's a great musician. Yeah, I would expect someone like that to be kind of arrogant, but not at all. Kai was totally cool.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you mentioned John Schaefer, because I was just speaking to a friend of mine, and you know, I think a lot of reasons people don't like him, and this is why I love interviewing this guy, and why I have such a respect for him. And granted, I don't know him, like I don't know him as a person that well, but the biggest reason I've loved to talk to him on the show is because of all of the bands and people that I really talk to for the show, he is one of the most direct and most straight up honest people with me, regardless of whether, you know, he thinks people would be offended or not, but he's a very honest guy to talk to. And, you know, I always thought that maybe that's something that people really just didn't like about him. Sometimes people don't like honesty. I love honesty. And he's just one of those people that's just straight up with people.
He is. Yeah. He's very direct and to the point. And, you know, you always know where you stand with John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely have always liked having him on the show, because I know he's not going to candy coat anything. And that's what I love about someone like him. So it's cool to hear some positive press on him, because I've always thought he was really cool to deal with. And, you know, so I guess I have two more fan questions for you. The next one is, people always, you know, this basically asks, people always talk about how Europe is a lot different, you know, in the metal scene than the States. And I guess they want you to explain maybe, you know, how different is this? How different is Europe compared to playing in the U.S.?
Oh, it's, you know, it's night and day difference, which is funny talking to your audience, because actually Cleveland and then probably Toronto and Montreal are probably much more closer to the European metal scene than, say, where I'm at in Colorado. Here in Colorado, it's like, you know, you talk to the average person on the street, or, you know, I talk to buddies of mine, and people are so influenced by what the radio tells them to listen to,
mm-hmm.
or what MTV's showing. I mean, I could ask any number of friends of mine that, because I have a lot of friends that don't have anything to do with the band or aren't musicians. You know, I could ask any of them, you know, who are the best metal bands around, and it would be like, you know, whatever's on the radio at the moment. You know, people, it's so entrenched in people in the U.S., you know, at least it is out here. Where you go to Europe, you don't see that at all. You see everybody, you know, you go to these huge metal festivals, or you go to Keep It True or something, or, you know, a show like that, and everybody has completely made up their own mind about what bands they like, who they listen to. I mean, it's really cool. It's almost like the mass media has like no influence on who they listen to, which is really cool. And, you know, I see that in Cleveland, in your area, too, because, you know, you guys got, you have several radio stations that play a lot of cool different metal, and we just, you know, we don't have that out here. So yeah, I think that's the big difference is, you know, the U.S. is so mass market driven. You know, I don't know. I don't even know what the popular heavy bands are right now on the radio. I don't know. But, you know, the U.S. is so influenced by radio. It's sad, I think.
And we're here with Mark Browning at Jagdpanzer. And you do have some ties to Cleveland. Actually, you worked with Bill Peters, I believe, didn't you, in Auburn Records in the late 80s. And, you know, talk a little bit about that, how you ended up meeting Bill, and talk about what it was like working with him.
Well, we didn't do a release with Bill, but, you know, we've always been close friends with Bill. And, you know, Bill's always been a huge supporter of the band. Bill helped bring us over for Brave Words, Brady Knuckles six-pack. Well, Bill, Mark Grauman, I think, brought us over. And, you know, Bill's a great guy. He's I think, you know, one of the main fixtures of the U.S. metal scene since the 80s. You know, he's just a huge supporter, and, you know, he's a cool guy. You know, I think Bill's helped Jagdpanzer in ways he doesn't even know. I mean, there are times I've talked to Bill and I've just bounced ideas off of him, you know, just by talking to him. And, yeah, he's just, you know, Bill's a great guy.
That's great. Well, do you have anything, you know, we're going to kind of end off the interview, and of course I'll have a couple things to say after, you know, off the air and stuff like that. But, you know, do you have anything to say to any of the metal fans out there right now that are listening to this interview?
You know, it's so cliche to say thanks for the support, but, you know, I really mean it because we, you know, we don't get any mainstream, you know, coverage or anything in the States. So every CD we sell, and you know, every time we get played on a station like yours, it's really all fan support, you know, which is really cool, and I really appreciate that a lot.
Sounds good. Well, hey, this is a song called Overlord, which is one of my favorites from this album, Mark. This is one of the songs that really just kind of just, bam, just struck out on me once I was checking this out. So we're going to play this song next off of the upcoming album, Scourge of Light. Mark, it was great having you on the show. I had a lot of fun, and you are my first live interview in 10 years on this show. So now, and now I can actually honestly say a live interview is actually really fun. I haven't done one in forever. So Mark, it's great to have you on. And
yeah, thank you for having me.
And good luck to you. And again, I'm really, really looking forward to listening to this album more, because I really dig it quite a bit. It's Jagdpanzer. This is the Metal Command Show, the interview hour of the Metal Command Show. Here is Overlord off of the new album, The Scourge of Light.